Aquila and Priscilla. Just want to do two things here this morning. One is, what do we know about them? And secondly, some takeaways for us with what we know about them. So Aquila and Priscilla, they're a married couple which come on the scene today in the beginning of the 18th chapter of Acts, where Paul goes to Corinth. Remember, at the end of yesterday's reading, we heard that Paul leaves Athens and he goes to Corinth. Well, we pick up right in that spot, and as he gets to Corinth, he meets a man named Aquila and his wife Priscilla. Now, Aquila and Priscilla are mentioned six times in the New Testament, just very briefly six of these times. So to know more about them, you got to kind of piece together these six different spots in the New Testament. So today, like I said, we know they're a married couple. We find that out. We know that they left Rome because of the emperor Claudius at the time has exiled all the Jews from Rome. So then that's how they wound up providentially meeting Paul. We know from today's readings that they are tent makers, so they're in the same trade as Paul. But we know that they're not, so by that we know that they're not in full-time ministry. Here in this reading we hear that Paul eventually, he leaves tent making and devotes himself. Paul began to occupy himself totally with preaching the word. So Paul leaves the tent making, but Priscilla and Aquila continue to help him out because they allow Paul to continue to stay with him. Of course, if he's not practicing his trade anymore by making tents to make money, he needs help from other people, which Priscilla and Aquila come to his aid, giving him a place to stay here in Corinth. We know also from elsewhere in the New Testament that Paul sets sail with Aquila and Priscilla. So they had to have built some type of bond and relationship, both through the tent making as well as, of course, Paul staying in their home and seeing them ultimately do ministry as well. So they set sail to Ephesus. And when in Ephesus, Paul's there for a brief period of time. And while he's there and he preaches, a lot of people come to know the Lord through Paul's preaching. And people want Paul to stay, but he doesn't stay. He goes ahead and set sail for another location, but Priscilla and Aquila stay. They remain in Ephesus. So there we can just highlights the, I imagine maybe while Priscilla and Aquila are there in Ephesus, maybe they have a child, right? It's less easy for a married couple, if you're in the vocation of marriage, just to get up and leave. Paul, being single, solely devoting his life to the spreading of the gospel, he can much more easily get up and say, well, I'm going to go sail on to the next town. Priscilla and Aquila, they stick around in Ephesus. I think that doesn't, the scriptures don't say that they had a child, but they do stay there. And we read that they open their home as they stay there in Ephesus. They open their home and they have it be a place of worship for all the converts that were made through Paul's preaching. Aquila and Priscilla use their home to have others come in and worship. And we also know that through their home, they taught others about Christ. They taught Apollos was another gentleman who began to preach, but you know the scriptures say he had a little bit off in his preaching. And what did Priscilla and Aquila do? They trained him, Apollos, and they kind of tweaked and shifted some of the spots where he was wrong. And it's awesome to think of all the time that Priscilla and Aquila spent with Paul as Paul was staying with them in their home in Corinth, of how they probably got to know the scriptures so well. Paul, you know, maybe be going before bed, sitting by the campfire or, you know, inside the house, sharing these things. And they just had this great bond, the three of them, Paul, Priscilla, and Aquila. So with all that being said, that's what we know about Priscilla and Aquila throughout the six spots that they're mentioned in the New Testament. What are some takeaways for us? Let me just name three here for us this morning. First is that Aquila and Priscilla were this I imagine them as this great tag team as husband and wife. There's not a single time of those six times mentioned in the New Testament where their names aren't mentioned together. It's always this tag team. It's never just Priscilla. It's never just Aquila. It's always Priscilla and Aquila. And so I just imagine this tag team of the two of them in the midst of, we know, difficulties and hard times. One of them, we hear from the readings today, they're being driven out of Rome. Who knows if they have a child with them or not, but they're driven out of Rome from the Emperor Claudius. And so it called to my mind this great line that was in the old ritual for marriages that was always read to married couples. The priest or the deacon would read to the married couple about to get married. And he would say this, "Sacrifice is usually difficult and irksome. Only love can make it easy and perfect, or only love can make it easy, and perfect love can make it a joy." And it's just a great reminder, again, as I'm continuing to have conversations with married couples on the phone, experiencing difficulties. I mentioned this in the homily last weekend of the increased calls to divorce lawyers. It's a reminder of this, to be this, the difficulty in marriage, the sacrifice that's required to the point that it's difficult and irksome. And only love can make it easy, and perfect love can make it a joy. The perfect love here being the key avenue of realizing the grace within the sacrament of marriage. Just a reminder for those of us that are married here this morning is to call upon the grace that God promised when you and your spouse stood on the altar before God and got married. Your marriage is a sacrament, meaning that there's grace there within the love that the two of you share with one another that can be called upon, and that grace is God's power and his strength. Second takeaway here is the importance of evangelizing through the home. We read that Aquilus and Priscilla, they opened their home for others to come in and to worship, and they had their home that others learned about Christ. And of course, the primary way that happens is the evangelizing of children in the home. But not just that. I remember Dr. Scott Hahn for a class in the seminary, and he would oftentimes say how him and his wife Kimberly, Scott Hahn is just he's a prolific writer, theologian, and scriptural scholar in the Catholic Church. And he mentioned how him and his wife Kimberly would very intentionally invite younger people over to their home, college students and postgrad students, into their home just to have dinner with him, Kimberly, and the rest of his kids. Why? To experience just a authentic, intentional family life that Scott Hahn and Kimberly Hahn, his wife, had. Sure, was there probably craziness going around in the home as Scott Hahn, I think, has 8 or 9 kids? Yeah, but they wanted the college students on campus and the postgraduates just to come in and to see that. To see what? Intentional love and sacrificial love of a family. More and more our world, people are growing up without that experience. And so an encouragement for us is to see our homes as not just an evangelization opportunity for our children, bringing them up in the faith, but to see our homes as maybe a center for evangelization, to see beauty and craziness in the home, but for others to experience that and to see it and be inspired by it. And lastly, I just say to encourage all of us to find Aquilas's and Priscilla's in our lives, because they are incredibly inspiring. Married couples like Priscilla and Aquila are incredibly inspiring, not just for other couples, but for priests too. Looking back on the last 3 years, I don't know what my ministry, what my life would be if I didn't have other Priscillas and Aquilas, married couples, that just inspire me. as I see the way that they sacrifice for one another and the way they sacrifice for their families, it inspires me to pray more. It inspires me to work harder in my ministry because I see the way that they sacrifice for one another. So for Paul, the way that Paul must have been inspired by Aquila and Priscilla. But for married couples to seek out other Priscillas and Aquilas, for them to be inspired by them, because as we talk about often, it's just too hard today. If we're trying to live the Christian life, to have a household that's striving for Christian values, and we don't have Priscillas and Aquilas around us that we can say, they're trying it too. They're in the midst of going up the stream in the world that's up against the, or that's coming, thrown at us the anti-Christian creed. We all need other Priscillas and Aquilas in our lives.